Winter, the chief football writer of the London Times, is on the line. How's lockdown been treating you, Henry?
It's been really busy with work, actually. I mean, it's been quite nice to sort of meet the family pretty much for the first time, but actually working from home rather than going to matches and interviewing players and managers on Zoom and, you know, on the phone. And it's been, obviously, all the focus has been on the country getting healthy again and also Project Restart and the Premier League getting back playing again.
Haven't been writing a book, Henry?
No, honestly, it's just been full on with Project Restart because it's been, you know, it's such an important issue, not simply for the main sporting reasons. You want to see Liverpool crowned on the pitch rather than in a committee room with a calculator. You want to see that, you know, the relegation fairly decided on the pitch and the European positions decided. So it's sort of focusing on those and the sort of the push to get back to training and get back to full contact for the players, and then finally June 17th the restart. So there's been loads to write about, but it'd be nice to see a ball being kicked.
Well, for football fans, there's been precious little to get our teeth into. I did find myself dipping into the 1986 FA Cup final between Spurs and Coventry. I mean, what a team Spurs had. Hoddle, Waddle, Ardiles, Gary Mabbutt, Clive Allenbutt. They still contrived to lose to Coventry on the day.
Well, that right. I mean, that 87 final was an absolute epic. Probably one of the last truly great finals. But the other thing is, of course, is the FA Cup is coming back as well. They're hoping to play the final at Wembley on August the 1st. We've got the quarterfinals and the semi-finals to go. It's slightly been forgotten about in all the focus on Project Restart for the Premier League. I think the Championship, obviously, will come back at some point, but I'd be surprised if we see much out of League One and League Two. So absolute huge focus on that. But as with everyone else in the country, the main focus has been on, I'm sure it's the same with you, on the key workers, the NHS, the doctors, the nurses, who are just keeping this country going.
Absolutely. Well, it's going to be a pretty strange atmosphere when we do get kickoff on June the 17th, and the players are going to have to mind their P's and Q's as well with nobody in the stadium.
Well, I think probably the busiest person in the stadium will be the BT or the Sky sound engineer, who will be turning the volume down at certain moments. I think the players are aware of it. They've been told by their clubs, so that the referees will tell them at the start of the game. That obviously every single match is going to go out live, people will be listening in. But I think what a lot of the clubs are going to do is actually pump fake noise into the stadium as well, partly for the players' benefit and also just to, so that when the noise filters out, it's better for the broadcast viewers. Personally, I'm not a big fan of that. I'm also a traditionalist. I think we should accept that these are exceptional times and actually appreciate why the game is being played behind closed doors because of this pandemic. But, yeah, absolutely. I'm sure we'll see it. But in a way, it'll be slightly fascinating if we can listen to what the players are saying, the tactical commands, because that normally gets drowned out. And I was in Croatia a couple of years ago when England played Croatia in Rijeka behind closed doors. And, I mean, it was remarkable to see the extent of Jordan Henderson's vocabulary when he was ticking off the Croatian coach who was disputing a decision. I mean, that you know, it's football war, football unplugged, but I understand why the broadcasters and the clubs do want a little bit of fake noise in there.
For the first time since the inception of the Premier League, the BBC will be showing four live Premier League games. Do you think they'll wheel Mossy out of mothballs?
Moss has been doing a lot of work on TalkSport, actually. So, I mean, Mossy will just... I don't think that famous coat is going to be hung up just yet. Look, BBC have got some great commentators going over, Steve Wilson, people like that, Ian Dennis, who does a lot of radio as well. So they won't be short. And I understand that a lot of this, Rob, is being driven by the government because they want people to stay inside. I mean, you've probably seen the pictures of here, all the beaches and the parks being full. But they want the lockdown to be eased slowly. And part of that is using football to keep people inside because all these matches are on television. Obviously, then you're going to have a slight battle between the main broadcaster, Sky and BT, who pour in billions of pounds into the industry. And they want the plum games, you know, the games when Liverpool will decide the title. And the government, I imagine, wants that Liverpool game to be shown free to on terrestrial. So I think there's still a little bit of horse trading to go on that one.
Yeah, as you said, I think most people will observe the social distancing and stay in, but there will obviously be some idiots who will insist on going to grounds to stand in the car park, etc. So the police will have their work cut out, no doubt, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think at some point we have to trust fans. I mean, I agree, you know, probably some will, but you look at a club like Liverpool, a very conscientious club. They've been working hard with their supporters groups. And I know the mayor, John Anderson, said that there will be concern. But if you are a fan of any club and you know that you've got access to your team live on television, would you really go and stand in a car park with the police telling you to go away, knowing that you're embarrassing your club? Okay, you might be able to watch the game on your mobile phone. And I know the younger generation do that. But really, wouldn't you rather be at home watching it on the sofa, getting the full joy of it? And then, when football does come back in numbers, probably in January, then you can sort of celebrate it properly then.
Okay, how much financial damage do you think the coronavirus has done to the game in general, Henry?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, it's just... It's devastating. You see some of the impact, particularly lower down the divisions, League One, League Two. I mean, you know, League Two was in a difficult place anyway. League One as well. The Championship with their crazy wages to revenue ratio. You know, they were just spending so much on players' wages, transfers fees, on agents' fees, trying to get into the promised land of the Premier League. And, you know, any momentary cessation of their income from television or through the gates, merchandising as well, was going to hit them just really hard. I mean, the Championships, you know, there's a lot of carnage in there. I just hope that, you know, we lost Barry early this season. I just hope that we can get through with as close to the 91, the club's still intact. But I think there will be clubs will go out of business. Further down, grassroots, no money coming in on the back of austerity, on the back of a difficult winter which damaged a lot of the pitches or didn't allow games to be played. I think there will be, sadly, grassroots clubs going out of business.
Yes, as you say, I mean, even before the coronavirus, a lot of clubs had overstretched themselves. In fact, Bolton Wanderers had massive problems when they were in the Championship. So there is the possibility that without crowds coming back before January, that some clubs, even as high up as the Championship, could be in real trouble.
I think they are in real trouble, and I think they've admitted that. And Rick Parry, the chairman who's gone in to help out the EFL, obviously with his experience in the Premier League, he's warned that. He's warned of the catastrophe, almost the Armageddon that's going on in the EFL. Maybe some of that was to put pressure on government to sort of step in and help out, to put pressure on the Premier League to pass on some of their television money. But, you know, Rob, you know English football. It is not a land of the sane when it comes to finance. You know, there's some crazy wages, crazy agents' fees. It's madness. They haven't used the money properly. Okay, they've invested in stadium and in squads, but really they haven't had enough money put away for a brutal rainy day, rainy season like this.
Last question, Henry. And nobody doubts that Liverpool fully deserve to win the Premier League title. Some people are saying this is the best Premier League team ever. What do you think about that?
Oh, I mean, it's a hard one to say. I mean, there have been some magnificent teams. I mean, some of the Manchester City football that they've played under Pep Guardiola in winning the league, Sergio Aguero, David Silva, the players they've got there. You go back to great Manchester United teams, 2008 with Ronaldo. You go back to 99, the treble winning team. You go back to the sort, you know, the Arsenal double teams, the Invincibles. I mean, Liverpool haven't gone through a whole season unbeaten. Arsenal managed to do that. You look at the players they have, Vieira, Thierry Henry. I mean, I understand this desire, this Nick Hornby-type list desire to have your number one. I just think what can be said about Liverpool is that they're one of the greatest teams of the modern era. And I think they've shown it in the Champions League. They're now showing it in the Premier League. And I think they will be this dominant for another couple of years at least. And that is the key thing. It's like the old Liverpool. You do it season after season. You're never satisfied.
And now it's time for Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Riviera Radio.
It's Woofer of the Week time, and lovely to be able to speak to Dawn Howard for the first time since lockdown, as we've got all our problems sorted out. Hello, Dawn.
Hello there. Nice to be back.
How's lockdown been treating you?
Actually, it's been okay, to be honest, Rob. We have a garden, and I think that has changed absolutely everything for us. It's kept me sane.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the animal refuges have been suffering as well during this period of lockdown, but things do look like they're looking up. So what have we got today?
We've got a lovely woofer today. He is 1 year old and he's looking for a forever home. He's a Griffin Cross. He's black and white. He's a medium-sized dog. And just to say that Griffins are really lovely dogs. They have a very nice nature. They're very soft. And he is an affectionate one too, true to breed. He's microchipped, vaccinated and neutered. So he's all ready to go and eager to settle into your home and routines. And being a young dog, you'll need to continue his training, walk him every day, and obviously a garden would be a bonus. If you'd like to meet him and see if he's the one for you, he's at the Refuge Jean Duflot in Antibes, and they are open from 2 to 5 every day. And at the moment, they allow 2 people to go in at a time, and you must have a mask and gloves, and obviously respect distances between each other and their employees. You can also call them on 0493 331414 to find out more about him or any of the other dogs that are up for adoption. But if you do so, they ask that you call them, please, after 2 p.m.
You know what I'm going to say, don't you?
No.
What's he cross about?
Oh, it's nice to be back. So they are one of the refuges that are open at the moment. I know for sure that Caros and Vance are also open. And just to mention, if people want to go and check out other refuges, it's best to check in advance by calling ahead.
Okay, Dawn, thank you very much. Speak to you next week.
That was Woofer of the Week. For more details about this week's Woofer, go to the 106.5 Riviera Radio page on Facebook or our website at rivieraradio.mc. Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Woofiera Radio.
No time for any comedy again this morning, so let's move straight on to the pop quiz.
First question. Mm-hmm. On this day in 1967, Aretha Franklin went to number one on the US singles chart with her version of which Otis Redding hit?
Respect.
Correct. I'll give you an extra point if you can tell me that, in actual fact, her first UK number one was which song? It was a duet.
With George Michael.
Yeah.
I Knew You Were Waiting for Me.
Very good. And in the same year, The Doors released which song in the US? Which
went on? Light My Fire.
Very good. Light My Fire, correct. And finally, Eddie and the Hot Rods were a pub rock band from Essex. Okay, which year?
1977.
Well done.
One of the first albums I ever had. Life on the Line. Still love it today.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Put the barbecue under cover yet?
Well, the weather's changed quite dramatically, it has to be said. It's been like 16, 17 degrees in the UK today. So 8 degrees lower than we've seen over the course of the past few weeks.
You've had a good run of it, though, haven't you?
We've had a wonderful run. It's been very pleasant.
Think that's it for summer now?
We're not calling a close on it just yet, but it feels like we're just having a little hiatus.
And see that the water companies are already urging people not to use too much water despite the torrential rain and flooding you had in the winter. Apparently there's not enough to go around.
No, I got a text, Ashley. I don't know if it was because I was using a particularly large amount, but I got a text saying, you know, we need to be very careful that it's, I think, the driest May that we've seen in 124 years. It's been many days without rain, and of course it's not helpful at this time of year.
Well, you spend most of your time in the jacuzzi, don't you? So there's no wonder why.
Not for a long time.
Okay, markets. It's hard to fathom why they're going up so regularly. I mean, this massive problem in the United States, which can only be affecting the US economy even more than it is being affected. But investors hanging on to hopes that the global economy will recover from the coronavirus pandemic in short order.
Yeah, I think that's right. Protesters clashing with police across US cities yesterday. Officials imposing aggressive curfews there, but stock markets continue to rise. S&P 500 rose for a third straight day. It was up 0.8%. In fact, its highest close since March the 4th. Technology has been leading the advances. Gun makers also extending the recent rally in the wake of President Trump's promise to deploy large numbers of troops to contain the violence from the protest. Investors, I think, have been focused on businesses reopening around the world. Manufacturing gauges have been stabilizing. course, lots of stimulus being announced. European equities traded at a 12-week high yesterday. Germany are talking about ramping up its stimulus. European Central Bank on Thursday expected to announce a big increase in its asset purchase program. Looks like we're going to add to those gains at the open this morning. European futures trading 1.5% higher.
And most of the action's being driven from China at the moment, though, isn't it? So manufacturing and services up, although factory output did slow in May.
Well, everyone's watching China very closely, of course, because it's seen as the blueprint about how economies can reopen, how businesses will do once the restrictions are lifted, and gives us an idea in terms of where the pressure points are likely to be. So we know that production has been picking up. There's some concern, of course, around the level of demand. You saw an initial surge of demand coming through from households, but signs that's levelling off as consumers continue to be worried, I suppose, around the outlook for growth and, of course, uncertainty around labour markets.
Well, the elephant in the room as far as the UK goes, apart from coronavirus, is of course Brexit, and Nissan firing a major shot across the bows of the government yesterday.
Yeah, there was two elements there. Sterling has actually been surging. In fact, it's to its highest level in over a month against the dollar. Some speculation this week's Brexit talks may start to show some progress. So far, the UK and the European Union have shown very few signs of ceding ground. However, the Times newspaper in London has reported the potential for compromise from the UK government ahead of the deadline, the end of June, for Britain to seek an extension to the transition period. Still a number of major sticking points. Level playing field. The European Union wants UK to align on areas such as environmental and workers' rights. Governance and dispute resolution mechanisms is a concern. Equivalence of financial services. The European Convention on Human Rights. And, of course, the Northern Ireland Protocol. So quite a lot to get through from that perspective. And as you say, Nissan saying, its chief operating officer has been warning about what's taking place and saying that that Nissan couldn't commit to maintain its Sunderland plant if there was not a tariff-free EU access. So lots going on there. Remember, it's UK's largest car manufacturing plant, 7,000 workers. So just adding to the pressure to try and get the Brexit resolution sorted out. But the improvement in Brexit sentiment, progress on easing restrictions, helping sterling recover. We've been saying still plenty of room for disappointment, both from an economic and political perspective.
All those things you just mentioned are major red lines as far as the UK government goes. So if they want to buy themselves some time, they're going to have to do a massive climb down, aren't they?
Yeah, red lines maybe taking it a little bit too far, but they have suggested these are areas that they want to take control of, that they want to be in the hands of UK regulators, UK lawmakers, as opposed to European officials, and starting to set out the future of Britain outside the European Union. But the reality is it was always going to be a tight schedule in order to get these negotiations done before the end of the transition period. COVID-19, of course, has made that task even harder.
Well, if you want tariff-free access, the bottom line is you have to follow EU rules, no matter whether there's a transition period or not.
You'd imagine that's one of it, but the UK feels that they can, or the UK government feels that they can move towards a system in which they will continue to thrive and do very well, even if that's under World Trade Organization rules come 2021.
Well, one company that's doing very well is Zoom. We should go on Zoom, you know, as a backup for when the ISDN fails.
Yeah, Zoom nearly doubling its expectations for annual sales as sales have surged during the course of the lockdowns, we know, with users increasing from 10 million per day to around 300 million. Zoom has transformed itself from a business-orientated teleconferencing tool to a global video meeting place. The company raised its full-year revenue forecast to $1.8 billion. The latest report shows the company now has about 265,000 customers with more than 10 employees. That's a fourfold increase from a year earlier. But while Zoom has revenues increased, so did its costs. One of its biggest costs is data centers and bandwidth to host calls. It owns some of its data centers, but also pays cloud computing services to charges to Amazon, Microsoft and Oracle. Costs rose 330%. Margins fell to 68% from 80%. There are, of course, some issues as you look forward. Some signs as restrictions are lifted, user numbers have been falling. Lots of competition out there. You've got Cisco's WebEx, Microsoft Teams, Google's Meet, and concerns around privacy issues as well. Zoom shares have been a wonderful performer. They've more than trebled during the course of this year, but actually we're down 3.5% on the results. So perhaps a better to travel than arrive story when it comes to Zoom.
Zoom, just one look and we were on the moon.
What? Are you doing the jingle for them now?
It's Fat Larry's Band. I bet you've got that on your iPod.
Haven't got that. Haven't
Next
got that.
Next to the Dolly Parton.
I'd be very careful.
Right up your street.
I would have the auto-tuner on if I was going to do that, if I was you.
Foreign exchanges, you blighter.
Pound against dollar coming in at 1.25 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.12. You get 1 euro and 12 cents for your British pound this morning. Give us one more bar
of it. No,
it's
a bit like the pot calling the kettle black. You're talking about auto-tune with your singing anyway, isn't
Come
it?
Come on, just give us one more.
No,
give us one
tomorrow.
More.
I've got to, no, I've got to go. I've got a newspaper review to do.
Have a good day.
Talk to you tomorrow. Hang Potts and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyster has the top stories across the Riviera.
Two people in the Outmarrow team have died from coronavirus, with a further three reported deaths in the Var. There are still 106 patients receiving hospital treatment for the virus in the Outmarrow team and 139 in the Var. The virus has caused the deaths of 251 people in the Outmarrow team since the start of the epidemic, while 227 lives have been lost in the Var. 13 people are still in intensive care in both departments. In other news, Italy is opening its borders to EU citizens from this morning, but anyone coming into France from Italy will have to prove residence and will be required to carry an authorisation permit. Forms are available on the French Interior Ministry website and must be completed before travelling. People wishing to enter France must also be carrying proof of residence, such as an electricity bill, which is dated no longer than a year ago. Many bars and gyms have reopened in the south of France with strict hygiene measures in force. Reports say that the flow of customers has been slow to moderate at many establishments, while people wishing to eat at restaurants are being required to reserve before turning up. Gyms are limiting class sizes and access to workout spaces to stop too many people being in the same room at the same time. Many people still appear to be extremely cautious about resuming their pre-virus habits, and turnover has been mainly slow. Two people have been treated in hospital after a head-on collision in the Var. Two cars collided on the RD554 to the west of Hyères. The injuries sustained by the two people are not thought to have been serious. The French government has announced increased funding for hospitals and clinics. The Minister of Health said on Tuesday that an additional 100 million euros will be added to a fund of 377 million euros, which was announced in April. Meanwhile, French Economy Minister Bruno Le Maire has said that the summer sales across France will now begin on July the 15th and will last for 4 weeks. The sales were previously scheduled to begin on June the 24th, but the minister said that the delay had been put in place at the request of small traders who needed more time to build up their businesses after being closed down during lockdown. And finally, the World Health Organization has warned that the increased use of antibiotics to fight the COVID-19 pandemic will strengthen bacterial resistance and could lead to more deaths. The Director General of the World Health Organization said a worrying number of bacterial infections were becoming increasingly resistant to the medicines traditionally used to treat them.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Can't stand how pushing the summer sales back to the 15th of July is going to help.
It doesn't seem that, yeah.
But you would think that companies had loads of stock that they needed to get rid of and wanted it out the door quicker.
Oh, yeah, they're
going to
be selling it quite late, aren't they?
Formula One, the 2020 season will start with 8 races in Europe, beginning with 2 in Austria on the 5th and 12th of July. A third race will be held in Hungary the following weekend, and then there will be a 2-week break before 2 consecutive races at Silverstone and Grand Prix in Spain, Belgium and Italy. All races will be held behind closed doors, and the Formula One boss Chase Carey says that an event would not be cancelled should a driver or team member test positive for coronavirus. Mr. Carey said that Formula One had a procedure in place, which meant that a Grand Prix would not have to be called off in the event of a positive test. Some questions remain on what action teams might take, though, in the event of a positive test at a circuit. Meanwhile, Lewis Hamilton has said he feels completely overcome with rage at events in the United States following the death in police custody of African-American George Floyd. It's the second time that Hamilton has spoken out this week, and he says he's failed to keep hold of his emotions. Football, the Premier League has given clubs permission to play friendly games with strict restrictions before the restart on the 17th of June. Top flight clubs want to play some games to get players match fit before the league resumes. Friendlies can be played at training grounds or stadiums. Liverpool have already held a full 11-a-side training game at Anfield. That's on team. It's wishful thinking, isn't it? Now, cricket. England will play three tests in the space of 21 days against West Indies in July. The three tests at Southampton and Old Trafford will be played behind closed doors on the 9th, 16th and 24th of July. Both venues are biosecure and have hotel facilities on site. West Indies will arrive on the 9th of June and will be based at Old Trafford for initial quarantine and training. And in rugby union, English Premiership and Championship clubs can resume training on a non-contact, socially distanced basis from today. There's been no rugby played in England since the 14th of March, and no date for a restart has been set, but it's hoped there will be some top flight action this summer.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Isle Maritime and the Vaal, the general situation is a depression, 1,010 millibars over the Côte d'Azur and Ligurian Sea. Winds are southwesterly, force 3 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,014 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, thundery showers, force 2 to 4 northeasterly winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 4 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,013 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, cloudy, force 3 to 5 southwesterly winds, slight to moderate seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Lovely blue skies in Monaco at the moment. The forecast is mainly fine in coastal areas. Thunderstorms inland again this afternoon with moderate southwesterly winds. Highs of 23 to 26 degrees. Overnight lows 18 degrees on the coast. 16 degrees inland with rain spreading across the region. Looking like a wet one tomorrow. Rain and thunderstorms are clearing during late afternoon. Fine on Friday with highs of 20 to 25 degrees. And finally,
being a kind and sensitive person is apparently in your genes, as well as developing through upbringing and life experience. That's according to a new study. Researchers said that some people were more kind and compassionate than others, and half of those that were involved in the study said that differences were inherited. The results are based on 2,800 identical and non-identical 17-year-old British twins, and the number of people with the gene is five times higher than the first thought. So there you go. Kind and sensitive. I was very kind and sensitive. I don't know. Are you kind and sensitive? You are very kind.
Sure, that's
and sensitive.
The right adjective. Kind and sensitive.
Kind.
Don't you mean tired and emotional?
Don't.
Oh, all right. Didn't say. My lips are sealed. The news is on the website rivieraradio.mc. It's 25 minutes to 8. Talking football with Henry Winter from the London Times at about 10 past 8 this morning, and Dawn's Around with Woofer of the Week.